that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustration, I need you. I know I do. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
Let's sing that first verse together.
And life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said. But I'll not complain, 'cause I'm sheltered, I'm clothed, and I'm fed. But many my hopes and my dreams put me through, and the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
That's a lot to be thankful for.
That I have, dear Lord, is in you.
There's nothing in this world that can satisfy us.
Your only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. I need you, Lord, I know I do. And the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is...
Sing that second verse.
Harder I fall, and sometimes I've wondered if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointments can't
lift our hands tonight and sing it to Him.
Thank you.
Thankful that the only rest for me is resting in Jesus. I'm just thankful that I can't be satisfied unless I feel like I'm doing all I can to serve Him. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that for my friends. My friend Wayne. I'm thankful that Wayne was away from all the do's and don'ts and living however he wanted to live, but there wasn't no peace in it. And the Lord brought him back fellowshipping with us, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that for each one of us that are here tonight. I'm thankful for that. We got quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'll read these and then we'll ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. Please pray for Kimberly. Josh had to take her home. This is Josh Dixon. Kimberly had to take her home from church with a very bad headache, so let's remember them. Ed Binkley facing surgery Wednesday the 20th, looks like. Let's remember them. It's Brother Gene Terrell turns that in. Pray for Skip Walker's mother. She fell, broke two vertebrae in her neck. Requires surgery, so that sounds very serious. Let's remember her. Pray for Brother Lance and Sister Erica's children, all sick, unable to be in church tonight. Let's remember them. Brother Harvey Lunsford has a sinus infection. Many of the believers in the Philippines, many needs and injuries caused by the typhoon. Many are homeless, so let's remember those folks tonight. Please pray for Sister Clara Moore. She's having problems with her legs and back, sick in body. Pray for Phyllis Phillips. Blood pressure is very high. Also, her sugar's running high, so Brother Pinky turns that in tonight. Remember my older brother in the hospital with double pneumonia. Brother Gene Terrell turns that in. Sister Janet Kennedy would like for us to remember her mother, Sharon Talkington, in prayer. With her surgery and the death of my dad, she's had a rough time, so let's remember that need. Please pray for Brother and Sister Baker. Both are having a lot of pain. Prayer request for Andy Blevins, sick, in need of prayer. Sister Angela Rubio in Tucson, Arizona, going through economic hardships, needs God to intervene. So let's remember her. Brother Raymond Vega turns that in. This is for Ruth. Nikki Forbes, who has many needs in her body. So let's remember that request. Sister Martha Ann turns in a request for traveling mercies. She's going to her mom's home in Tallahassee, Florida. Long, hard trip. Also, Sister Winters has an infection. Please pray for her. Sister Shirley Robbins, not feeling well. Unspoken prayer request from Brother Dow. God knows all about it. Also, Brother Lanyel Yance has an unspoken prayer request he'd like for you to remember tonight. And then finally, if you want to stand, Brother Terry could come. Finally, a request here for Brother Sammy Kinson from Galax, Virginia. He's passed away today. Just an unsettling, untimely death there. And that's the pastor of the church up there in Galax. So know they're going through a hard time, so let's remember them tonight.
I wonder if we can just join our faith together tonight as we pray on behalf of these needs, and especially the passing of Brother Sammy. Of course, a lot of us knew Brother Sammy, pastor up in Galax there, and I think he had a heart attack or something. We're not just sure what exactly the circumstance, but a loss in the church there, and certainly a brother. Heavenly Father, the only real peace that we have certainly was within You. And Lord, we're thankful that it's a peace that passeth all understanding. We realize, Lord, that there's nothing in this world can give us any kind of a rest, any kind of a peace. There's no security in the world. There's no foundation in the world. There's nothing in this world that could give us anything that would even compare. But God, we're thankful, so thankful that we have met the Redeemer. We have met the one that can give us peace, the Prince of Peace. There'll be no peace on this earth until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up His kingdom upon this earth. Lord, we realize living in Satan's paradise, Satan's Eden. This is Satan's zenith. He's become the god of this evil age. This is no place for us. We're just passing through. Lord, we realize that this land, as it becomes more corrupt and more unfit for this bride to live in, Lord, like the little dove that left the ark with all that carrying out there, there was no place for to put his little feet. Lord, and we're not going to be here that much longer. But I pray, God, for each one of these requests. I ask especially for the church there in Galax, the loss of their pastor. and Sister Kinzer and the family, Darren, the different ones. I pray, God, you just be with them and help them and console them. Lord, you said that you'd be an ever-present help in a time of need and time of trouble. I pray that you'd just comfort their hearts. And each one of these requests has been mentioned. I pray, God, that you'll meet the need and that we just commit them into your hands. They've been read. They've been mentioned. They've been named. So, Lord, the people have faith in the building tonight. And we believe, Lord, there's only one condition to see a healing take place, and that is to have faith. It's based on one thing alone, and that is faith in the promise. It's a finished work. So, Lord, grant these things. We pray, dear God, for Brother Donnie. I don't know exactly what the condition with that stone is. I'm praying for dissolvement, passing, whatever your will is, dear Lord. But, God, may it be quickly. God, help him. I pray he suffered extensively. I pray, God, you just help him tonight is our prayer. Each one of us, I'm sure many people had things upon their heart that would signify by a raised hand, unsaved loved ones, different ones outside the ark of safety, sickness within their own bodies, I'm sure, needs, domestic troubles, all kinds of problems in this earth. But Lord, you're altogether the righteous one, the healer, the way maker for each one. Bless the service, and may when we go from this service, we can say truly, it's been good to be in the house of God. We're thankful, Lord, we do have had and are having still another opportunity to be in the house of God. Thank God we got to go to church tonight. Bless each one, we humbly pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal each one, Lord, that I have laid my hands on these requests. Make them well, and may it be a testimony of your grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated this evening. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. One last time, let's sing that together. Try another new song again. I rarely ever do this and not regret it, but we'll see how this goes. Please help me. Everybody's heard this, I'm sure. The Magruders sung this one a lot. Well, saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. Sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace.
book of life, sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. I was alone in the darkness, I could not find my way. But Jesus shined His light on me, He turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
When I reach that city, oh, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story of how He brought me to the other side. Oh, when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption story of how He brought me to the other side.
Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. And it's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Well, I was alone in the darkness, I could not find my way. Jesus shined a light on me, He turned on my night today. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, but my sins are washed away. Saved by grace, I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Sing like David sang. Sing like David sang. The brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight. F minor, I think it says. Sing like David sang. F minor, is that right? Sing like David sang.
When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart.
You didn't say ready, set, go.
When the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart. I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I'm gonna sing like David sang. I'm
Have any special songs, so if you want to, let's go ahead and stand. Brother Donnie's getting ready to come and bring the word of the Lord to us tonight. Let's sing that Jesus Draw Me Close. That's an F. Just look forward to hearing what the Lord would have for us tonight.
Oh, Jesus, draw me closer, Lord.
Just worship, but we want to obey. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 16, verse 1, if you would. The brothers are having some problems with the projector thing up here, so the scriptures and quotes won't be on your screen. So you'll have to go the old-fashioned way. The way old-timers used to do it, when they'd take their Bible out and turn it open. Got to revert back to the 70s and the 80s. Amen. Modern technology is wonderful when it works. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. I want to speak to you tonight on will worship can kill you. Will worship can kill you. That sounds serious, don't it? Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Most of the time when you've got a big rebellion, you'll have three categories of people. You'll have leaders, associates, and followers. Leaders, associates, and followers. Now watch in verse 2. And there rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Every church has got them. Every move has got them. People that are famous, people that are known in the assembly. You need them as long as they'll stay in their position. But there's a great danger that anybody of influence has over other people. It takes God to help us, for sure. Now watch. 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Now these are the associates, of course. Then in verse 3, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Well, first of all, they're telling lies. This congregation ain't been nothing but trouble. Huh? Holy baloney. They was liars, they was idolaters, they was everything in the world. They was not holy. You want to follow a leader like that that can't even tell the truth? Not me. You take too much upon you, saying all the congregation are holy. Every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. They're lying again, because they never done that anyway. God did that. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. What a real pastor. It takes a man of God with a heart when trouble is raised up in a church not to want to kill the whole bunch. Now remember, this man had authority with God. He done held off the wrath of God several times, and he's fixing to do it again. You tell me he wasn't angry and mad, sure he was. But when it come to the losing them people, he'd risk his own name off the book before he'd do it. That's a real God-called man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We're so grateful for your goodness and mercy to us all. We know, Lord, as far as works, we're undeserving of any of the kindnesses that you've shown to us. Only in Christ Jesus are we accepted. We thank you for that tonight, Father. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Help me to be able to get out of the way. I pray that you'd speak to us, Lord Jesus. These things which have happened so many, many years ago, may we realize the people that did this initially are dead, but the spirit that moved on them is alive and active tonight. Help us, Father, that we will be identified with the real true spirit that motivates us toward the living word. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now let's turn, if you would, to verse 17. We stopped on this 4 or 5 weeks ago, whenever it was the last time I preached to you on Saturday night, Sunday morning, about this, where that God has now moved into a showdown. The children of Israel, the majority of them, have now fallen under this influence. But remember, there's still a separation in the way that Moses views it, and also, thankfully, in the way that God views it. That the leaders are the ones that are really to blame. But there are good people left in and among this assembly that have become influenced by the wrong kind of men. Now, as far as numbers, Moses had lost nearly the entire congregation of the children of Israel. So if you was going to measure by numbers, it looked like that Dathan, Korah, and Abiram were exactly right and Moses was wrong. So Moses, under the leadership of God now, puts a test before them. Let's read it, if you will, in verse 17. Let every man take his censer and put incense in them and bring you before the Lord every man his censer. 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you, his censer. Now remember, they're not just wanting to be a prophet. All of these men are not wanting to be prophets. They are wanting to be ministers. They're not just wanting Moses' place. They're wanting Aaron's place. It's not Moses alone that is brought into question here, but it is also Aaron. So these men desire to move from a position that God gave them by grace into a position which they're not qualified for. So they're challenging. The answer to this challenge is not the office of a prophet. Because Moses was not the one that would take the censer, go into the holiest of holies. It was Aaron's position that is now being questioned. Now watch in verse 18. And they took every man his censer. You are kidding me. They are going to do this? They're going to follow through with this. Look how sin can so harden people's hearts. That they will know the oracle of God. They will know the perfect will of God. Yet the opportunity of permissive will be placed before them and they will jump at it. They knew better than this. They knew what God had said by His Word. But they're going to accept the challenge. It's amazing how sin hardens people's hearts and makes them so aggressive to the wrong. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Now watch, they come right up. They're identified with the prophet and with the ministry. These rebels are not backward. They are not shy, but they are bold and confident. They're not scared at all. They're not standing there shaking with the incense in their hand, the fire. Oh, I hope I'm doing the right thing. I hope they're standing right there just as bold as they can be. They walk up with a brazen attitude. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. I ain't a bit ashamed to stand right here by William Branham and say he's a liar. You poor reprobate. I said you poor reprobate. My. But you know, God, even in negative things like this, God will use these opportunities to teach the sincere. It will be harsh. It will be difficult. And the wrath and the severity of God against those who disobey His Word, it's always a difficult thing to do. But the real people of God will learn a real valuable lesson by it. Now they take every man his censer and then they put the incense, they get the fire, which only the priests now have the even right to touch this holy fire from God. Remember, this fire was lit from the pillar of fire. It was not man-made fire. This fire was lit by the presence of God and it was to be fed continuously by the ministry. But it was lit by God Himself. Now this is their first time ever in their life to touch this fire. So they come to where the fire is, and they walk right up to it, brazen and bold as they can be. They don't bat an eye. They don't quiver. Their knees are not shaking. They walk right up to the holy fire of God. They reach over to the holy incense, which none of the children of Israel could even make anything that smelt similar to this incense. It was so holy and so righteous. And yet they walk right up to it, bold and brazen, not embarrassed, they're not ashamed at all. And they stand up there, they reach over into the holy fire of God, get the fire, get the incense, and they walk right there and stand right by Moses and Aaron. All right, let's see who's a man of God. Can't you see, friends, why folks can do what they do in this day and feel no remorse about it? Spirits don't die. Now what? So they take the fire, they take the burning, and they lay the incense there on, and then they move right up to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Because they consider themselves just as great as they are. Notice Numbers 16:19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them. Can you imagine the whole message? Left Moses. The whole message, people. All the congregation. Not 250. All the congregation. Turn from the prophet of God. Boy, if they had it on their website, you imagine how they could brag about that. Everybody's left Brother Branham. Everybody's left Moses. There ain't nobody that had digital cameras and snapped the picture and posted it on the website. Look! There's Moses and Aaron by themselves. We've got the whole message. Numbers is not always a sign of God. Oh my. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle. It absolutely amazes me that people would follow such a man. They required no supernatural vindication of him. God did not prove nothing about this man. He was a man with a big mouth. A man that had words and persuasive ability. He had not one supernatural sign. But he had words. And many of them were lies. But you see, when you're dealing with a complaining, griping, constant fussing people, a man like this is what they want. Very fitting. A good marriage made in hell. So Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Uh-oh. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. So here we got by now 2 million or whatever it is. With Dathan, Korah, Balaam. We have Moses and Aaron and God. I'll take that equation any day. Glory. You see, friends, desire for position destroys many people and actually ruins what they could do for God if they'd only stay under God-gifted qualification. Now, if these men would have done what they were called to do, there'd have been no issue, there would have been no problem, but yet it was not enough. They looked at their own so-called ability and what they felt they could do, and they were men that were this big in their own eyes, but yet their position was only like this. My, they were they were not appreciated. They were not loved. They were not being used in their capacity. God knows who to put in big places and who to put in little places. You realize it takes a man of great character to survive a high position. Not many men can handle it. Not many down through time have ever been able to handle a great position. That's why God don't give many great positions out, because there's very few people that can handle it. Oh my. Now look how infectious a rebellious spirit can become. This thing had become so contagious among this entire move that nearly everybody in there was infected by it. Now, always, no matter how you do something, if you're led of God and you're doing what God tells you to do, there'll always be complainers and grappers and groaners and this, that, and the other. And it was among them like it's always been in every other age. And no doubt this thing went and run among them. It was worse than the flu. First somebody got to sniffling a little bit, and then somebody got to sneezing, then somebody got to running a big old long tongue, and then somebody said this, and somebody said that. Before you know it, the whole camp has got it. Message, backslidden flu. Amen. Oh my. Now by assembling them together in the door of the tabernacle, in front of the tabernacle, that is utter defiance to the position of these two God-called men. Now watch. God's kept silent unto verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among, not Dathan, Korah, and Abiram, but from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now when God does speak, He's not speaking pleasant things, is He? God tells Moses, you step back, I'll kill the whole bunch of them. I won't fool with them another hour. I'll destroy the whole bunch right now. Think of it, children. Lord Jesus. By the congregation, even though they were not associated in the same position, but by identifying themselves with Korah and Dathan and Abiram, they joined a common cause of rebellion. By giving themselves over to this, they joined the common cause, and now God identifies, you understand, folks in the day that we're living, when they rebel against the word of God and they laugh and ridicule and make fun of, and there's others that don't start their own website, they just get on there and consent, I agree with this, I like this. They're just as bad as this congregation was there. And the way God looks at it, they're identified on the same page. My. Now watch these men. These men which had absolute right to step back and say, God, you're right. They've caused us nothing but trouble. They've complained. They have grumbled. They have griped. They've accused you of being a liar. They've accused me of being a liar. They don't believe your word. God, step back and annihilate them. But notice Moses and Aaron's response. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh. What a peculiar way to address God. God, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh. You're the one who made these spirits, Lord. You're the one who made these men. Notice their prayer now is now directional in the way they focus it. Shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Now notice what Moses is doing. He's directing his prayer in the form of intercession. He's not saying, that's right, God, kill the whole bunch of devils. Let them go into hell. I don't care no how. Oh my, a man like that don't need to be a pastor. He needs to sit down and get some real love of God in his heart. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. There's not a pastor in this message that it went through what Moses went through in this span of time that he brought them out. Now remember, this wilderness journey was about 38 years. There's really no way for us to know exactly when this happened. If they were 5 years in the journey, 10 years in the journey, 20 years in the journey, but from the day he brought them out, he dealt with unbelief. There's not a pastor in this message that has went through what this man done. And yet when it come right down to it, and God was now going to annihilate them, Moses couldn't stand it. He could not handle it. Oh my. And he said, God, you're the one who made men. You know these people are sheep. You know how easily influenced they are, Lord. Will you let one man sin? Watch what Moses is doing now. He's separating. Amen. It is the Spirit of Christ, a true intercessor. Don't put them all in the same category. Aren't you glad that we have got an intercessor tonight that stands before Father and said, Father, don't destroy Jim. Don't destroy Donnie. Don't destroy them. You're the God that made all spirit. You know one man sinned. You know it was not them, Lord. You know, God, I beg you, be merciful to them. Now what's amazing is Moses himself was as mad as a hornet right before this. Until God said, I'll kill your whole church. And once God said that, Moses got in a good mood. He said, God, please don't kill my church, God. Don't take my church. Moses was so aggravated himself. You bunch of rebels, you done this and that and the other. And God said, I agree with you. I'll kill them all. Shall one man, who's the ringleader of this move, do all of this damage and you'll kill the whole church? You see how dangerous it is to have fellowship with sinners. How dangerous to join your allegiance to rebellion against the word of God. Brother Donnie, do you understand all the questions all these people are raising up? I don't. I don't understand all the questions I read on agnostic websites either. Or infidel websites. Come on. If I could understand it all, I wouldn't need F-A-I-T-H. My F-A-I-T-H gives me something that my understanding just can't do. Amen. God is not known by understanding. You'll never Google Him. You'll never Google God and find all your answers on Google or Yahoo or Bing or Fling or whatever you use. You'll never find it. Because God is not known by a Google search. God is known by revelation. God is known by faith. I don't understand lots of things, but I believe it anyhow. Oh my. Look at Christ now. Christ and Moses. And Christ and Aaron. Notice both of these men are praying. The prophet and the ministry. Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I'm giving you a last chance. Now notice, God does not tell Moses to tell the company of Korah to leave. He does not tell the 250 princes to leave. They've crossed the line. There's nothing left from them but eternal separation and the abyss. But God tells Christ, because of Christ's intercessory prayer, speak to those who pull away from this stuff. Amen. Glory to God. And you imagine when God now anoints Moses, and Moses stands up and said, church, get away from these men. That the Spirit of God must have reverberated down through his voice, and something broke the shackles of those who had been hanging around this mess, and they pulled away from him and said, oh God, be merciful to me. Lord Jesus, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I want you to notice this. Korah is from one tribe. Dathan and Abiram are from another. They're from Reuben. Korah was a Levite. You know the scripture, you know that each tribe lived in a certain section around the tabernacle. They had defied that order. And Korah has now moved his tent with the Reubenites. So what's it all about? Position. I'll show Moses. I ain't living. You know why? He tries to even tell us where we're supposed to live. We can't even live where we want to live. And this is supposed to be a land of freedom. And you've got to live on the south side, and I've got to live on the west side. I ain't doing it. I'm taking my tent down, and I'm moving over there. I'm living where I want to live. I'm going where I want to go, and there ain't nobody telling me no different. Spirits don't die, do they? Oh, my. But thanks be to God, there was somebody who come out before the rebellion got to this stage. Notice in Numbers 16:1, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, the Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on. The son of Peles, sons of Reuben, took men. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but old brother On got on. Now you'll not find brother On being swallowed up in the pit, nor will you find him being killed by the fire that comes down when the 250 princes are destroyed. So he recognizes what's going on, that this move is of the devil. Amen. He don't want his will worship to kill him. Glory. Amen. Notice this now. Numbers 16:25. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, said, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Now the people are beginning to respond. Thank God some fear is restored back to some of these people. Don't touch nothing of theirs. Don't have nothing to do with them. Now remember, they're not seeing any warning signs yet of judgment. They've got to take this man's word for it. Amen.
So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now see what I'm talking about? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had all put their tents together. Just having a big tent meeting. And this tent meeting was rebellion about position. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. So they got from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents and their wives and their sons and their little ones. You see, friends, those who were unwilling to submit to the will of God, they will always despise authority. Whether it's in school, in church, in the law, whatever it is, they always, and a person who despises authority is rebelling against the will of God themselves. Now Korah being the Korahite should not have been among them. But yet his defying authority. You ain't telling me what to do. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. I'm my own boss. No, you're not either. You're always going to be told by somebody what to do. If you live in this America, if you don't pay your taxes, the IRS will come and get you. Won't be for long. Who knows exactly what our health care is going to be. Then they haul us off for that. There ain't no telling. We're going to be told what to do as long as we're here in this life. Amen. Amen. You're going to be told where you're going to get to live in heaven. You don't get to choose what level you live on. You'll live according to the predestinated plan of God. You don't get to choose your depths. You don't get to choose where you get to soar in God. Your experiences, Brother Branham said, are predestinated to you. You may look at someone and say, oh, I wish I had their experiences. Well, just give that up. Just give that up and set your goal on what God wants you to be. Our experiences are predestinated. Our depth is predestinated. Our understanding is predestinated. Oh, yes, that's crazy. No, it's not. Brother Bam says in Souls in Prison, Father, I pray you'd help each man, woman, boy, and girl to understand in the capacity they are ordained to understand in. Look how sin hardens the heart. So Dathan and Abiram walk right up to their tent. You imagine crossing arms and say, so what are you going to do now? Smart aleck. You prophet. Make our women have long hair, long dresses. Remember, Korah always wanted to strip the women. That's why this move that's going on is a Korah move. What's it doing? Liberating the women. Letting them cut their hair and wear pants and wear earrings and oh my. Yeah, liberating them. Liberating them for what? Hell. Tribulation period. Come on, don't get quiet on me, church. It's a Korah move. Why? Because they think, oh my, this message is against the women. This message is the only message on the earth right now that can truly liberate daughters of God. It liberates them from the Jezebel spirit. It liberates them from being a sex symbol in this day. It liberates them from standing before God as an adulteress for dressing like a prostitute. Moses said, hereby shall you know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works. Now that covers a span of many years. That covers the token. That covers the very day of the Exodus. That covers so many things. So you're questioning my credibility. You're questioning if I'm a prophet of God. You're questioning all these events. Because after all, there wasn't a whole lot of witnesses to these things, you know. We basically take Moses' word for it that God wrote the Ten Commandments. There wasn't Yahoo News up on top of the mountain and there's all video on it and the whole video on YouTube where you could go up there and there was the finger of God. We had to take this one man's word for it. Seems a little bit far-fetched, but God's people are kind of far-fetched. They were way far away and he fetched them down here and now they're going to be fetched back for long. So we are kind of far-fetched. But the real believer don't have to have scientific proof. He don't have to have a rock wrote down somewhere, some archaeological find. Faith believes it because God said it. So most of these main events that took place, they basically had to take his word for it. And if they would have been looking for scientific evidence, these folks that are against the message today, they would have been the same ones joining with Corey in that day. Exact same ones, because the spirit they're under right now is the same thing that was motivating them. If they would have questioned Moses, I want proof! I want proof! For God wrote this, Moses, that ain't got none. I want proof that God told you that Aaron's supposed to be the high priest. That's very convenient. That's very convenient. Your own brother. So what proof did they have that God told him? None. Can't you see, friends, why Satan through these people are trying to question the credibility of the prophet of God? That's exactly the Korah move. If they question Brother Branham's credibility, then the message is basically wasted. Fruitless. Nothing. Moses said, hereby shall you know the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. Amen. That's really sad. God will once again vindicate this prophet of God, but he will do it through their annihilation. Do you understand that many of these people that are turning away from the message and blaspheming the Holy Ghost, once again, God will vindicate his prophet of Malachi 4, telling us that these things would come to pass in the last days. What he said will be further vindicated in their lives. It will be further vindicated in their lives of those who turn away and those who have tasted the great heavenly gift and turned to darkness, and it'll be worse for them at the end than it was at the beginning. And the word will be further vindicated in the eyes of the believer, but it will be their destruction that will bring it. How sad. How sad. To bring you out of the land of Egypt. To bring you up to the Red Sea when our back was against it and the Egyptians was behind it. And you accused me of being a bad leader. I wasn't a bad leader. I was led of the Holy Ghost. It might not have looked like it when you're going right to the Red Sea when there was a much better way to go around it. But God brought them the way of trial and the way of testing, the same way he brings you and I. Moses, you've done this yourself. No, I never done it. The Spirit of God led me up to the Red Sea. The Spirit of God allowed Pharaoh to come right down there. But don't you remember, I told you, look on them Egyptians, because from this day forward you will never see them again. Oh, hallelujah. To make Aaron the high priest, God told me to do that. To make Aaron's sons the priest, God told me to do that. I didn't do it because I wanted to. It was not in my own mind. Hallelujah. Now be careful, Moses. Verse 29, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Amen. So this one event is going to tell the story. If they drop dead by plague, God never sent me. If lice, frogs, the dropsy, heart attacks. If they die that way, I'm a false prophet. This is a man that knows where he's standing with God. Now, when we're speaking about death, there ain't none of us even know the day, nor the hour, nor the time. Come on now. Much less the way we're going to go. We've got our choice. We'd like to lay down at night, you know, die of a heart attack in our sleep. No pain, no none of that sort of thing. But for a man to tell how these folks are going to die, for a man to tell that their deaths will be different, who alone but God knows the channel of death? Come on. False prophets can lay their hands on the sick and them recover, if the sick have faith. False prophets can be able to do all kinds of things. But if you ever found one scripture in the Bible where a false prophet ever raised any man from the dead, Only God has life. Satan can impersonate many of God's signs and wonders, but the devil cannot give life. Amen. It was not a false prophet that stood there whenever that lady died and he's meeting up there in Illinois and the Spirit spoke her name to him and said, Mary. And she said, yes, Brother Branham. When she had died, it was not a false prophet that called Brother Way back from the dead, because the devil cannot raise the dead. Only God can give life.
Oh my. But notice this in verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing or create a new creation, a new creature, and the earth open her mouth. Now he must be speaking by vision before it ever happens. Waiting and waiting and waiting on God. Then all of a sudden, Brother Terry, in that dimension where prophets have their visions, he sees the mouth of the earth. Now the scripture says that the earth has a mouth. It mentions it several times. First time is when Abel's blood was shed, when the earth opened her mouth to receive it. She is considered to have a mouth. Now here her mouth would engulf these wretched, feeble, backslidden message people. Now notice, these ain't Baptists. These aren't Church of God. These are not Philistines. These are people who've walked in the message and turned away and now blasphemed. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. You trying to serve them back? You trying to scare them back in? There ain't no way. I ain't trying to scare nobody back in. If they come by fear, they'll leave again in 6 months. I'm trying to preach you the truth. Keep you out of that mouth. I don't want the earth's mouth. If I'm going to be in somebody's mouth, I want it to be his. Praise the Lord. Now watch, if the Lord make a new thing or create a new creation, the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, that they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked, not me. They didn't make me mad. They didn't upset me. They make God angry. You ever read the little book, The 11th Commandment? The message book, The 11th Commandment? If you haven't read it, you ought to reread it. And you ought to read that prophecy in there. Where somebody describes the end of a service. And this hush comes over the whole auditorium where Brother Branham has just spoke. And all of a sudden, somebody stands up and starts speaking in tongues. And then interpretation comes forth. And through that interpretation, they go to describing what the preachers have talked about. How that they laid a trap for Brother Branham. And how that they said and talked about they was going to do this and that and the other. And God refers to them and God tells them what will happen to them. It'll raise a hair up on the back of your neck. If you got hair, if you don't, it'll raise bumps. But to think that here the Holy Ghost was calling out, told these preachers exactly the things they had talked about. And as I read that, I found it not long ago. And as I reread it again, I thought, Lord, if it was that way, just as people talking about him then, what is it today for those who are saying the horrible things they're saying? But remember, it's got to be. And I'm just glad it don't have to be me. It's got to be. It's always been. And it always will continue to be so. Oh, my. Notice I said they will go down quickly into the pit. This has never been before. Now remember, the earth has never opened her mouth in this way. But now God's showing Moses by vision, no doubt, and him speaking there and saying this. If God does something new that's never been before, you'll know these people have angered God. It will be totally out of my hands because I cannot open the earth. Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 31, and it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Now here an earthquake begins to shake the earth. The subterranean region begins to shake and quiver. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up.
and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah. Now you have to be careful how you read scripture, you know. All doesn't always mean all. It just means all when it's all. But sometimes all is not all. What's the matter? Have I got an egg on my face? It would seem as if, though, that when reading this, that you would believe or be led to believe that everybody that belonged to Korah died, but only those that appertained unto Korah. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all, which means all, right? All the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. Now it's not just the people, but their houses, their tents rather, their goods, their clothes, everything they had is going to be annihilated. But there were some who belonged to Korah that did not appertain to Korah. I belong to this world in a sense, but I don't appertain to this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Watch in Numbers 26:9. The sons of Eliab, Nemuel, Dathan, Abiram, that is Dathan and Abiram, which are famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah when they strove against the Lord. Verse 10, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died. What time the fire devoured 250 men and they become a sign. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. So they were children of Korah, but they did not appertain unto Korah. Amen. I'm children, I am a child, as you are a child of the flesh, come through the crossing of Satan and Eve. You might as well say amen. I know you love yourself more than anybody else in the world, but you're a sorry, rotten clod of dirt. I don't care how much lotion you put on yourself and think you're a living doll, you're a living pile of Tennessee or Kentucky dirt. Given enough time and you'll turn right back into that pile of dirt as well, right? But if that's as far as you go, then that's all you'll ever be. But you can be of this earth and appertain unto God. Now these sons and daughters, amen, they were absolutely of the paternity of Korah, but they did not appertain to Korah when it come to this teaching. You imagine them sitting at home and every day Korah would come in. Boy, I tell you what, praise God. We had 1,337 hits on our website today. More and more people are coming to the knowledge. Said, get away from this message. And you imagine his son sitting around the table saying, oh God. Oh God, oh God, I don't want to eat supper. I'm going to go in the room. I'm going to come back in here and sit down. You sit right here. You're pulling away from this prophet's message. Can't you understand? But there was something down in the sons of these hearts of Korah. They said, I don't belong with you, Daddy. You're wrong, Daddy. You're going in the wrong direction, Daddy. There's no way I'm going there. Notice Psalms 84:1. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. A psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. This is a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now here it is, hundreds of years after Korah has died, and his sons are in the court of King David. Actually, some of the psalms are attributed to the sons of Korah. This 84th psalm is supposedly written by the sons of Korah. Listen at verse 10. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Lord Jesus, Oh, glory to God. Can you imagine that generation after another generation after another generation, and they are still so thankful to God that their fathers, fathers, fathers would not comply to the teaching of Korah, and they're still reminiscing to this day and said to have one day in the presence of God is better than 10,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of Korah, in the tents of Abiram, in the tents of the unbelievers. Believers. Hallelujah! Let's go back now to verse 32, Numbers 16:32. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah. And all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. They had so crossed the judgment of God. God directly opened up the abyss. They go straight into hell. Children, you just remember. For many of these that are blaspheming this word, for a while God will let them go. That's part of the delay. But many of them, their end will be worse than anything you can imagine. And it won't just be the parents, but their children, which they're liberating. Their wives, which they're liberating, will wind up with other men. Their families will be destroyed and annihilated. They're not standing against me. They're not standing against you. They're not standing so much against a Kentucky and William Branham. They're standing against God. Notice, all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation. You see, once people move beyond the boundaries of the Word of God is not bondage to a real believer. It gives us guidelines, things that we're to stay away from for our own protection. For our own liberty, that we know what we can do and what we cannot do, just like laws of the land. Thank God for laws of the land. We're losing more and more all the time. But thank God for those that are true and right. Without them, what would the world be today? If it was not against the law to kill somebody, some of you probably wouldn't be alive tonight. If it was not against the law to rape and molest and rob banks, can you imagine? If it was not against the law for somebody to come in and break in your house and steal and rob from you, can you imagine what kind of world we'd be living in? Thank God for love. Thank God for restriction. Thank God for the Word of God that says don't do this and don't do that and stay away from that. I appreciate it myself. But remember, the earth swallowed them up. Can't you see where this is leading? Can't you see where this rebellion against the Word of God, the message of the hour, is going to lead these people to where the earth will totally swallow them. Their spirituality will become so numbed, they'll no longer even know what right and wrong is. Proverbs 14:9, write it down. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Notice in Numbers again, 16:34, we'll close. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. Listen to this from history now. Aben Ezra said the cry was so loud, their shrieks were so dreadful and piercing, that the Israelites about them fled to get away from the sound of them, to get to safety. The Targum of Jonathan not only represents the cry as terrible, but gives the words they expressed that all Israel around about them fled because of the terror of their voice when they cried and said, the Lord is righteous and his judgments truth. And truth are the words of Moses' servant. But we are wicked who have rebelled against him. And you imagine as they're going down, down, down. And the screams and the hollers of their voices. And when the earth gets them in, then the earth goes. And the rest of the children of Israel are running and screaming. And the sounds of these people perishing in the flames. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. What's God? He separates the punishments now. According to how they associate themselves, they will be punished in that way. God does not swallow up these 250 princes, but he punishes them in the measure, in the avenue that they sinned. And their avenue was what? Fire. So there came out a fire from the Lord, the very same fire that had kindled that fire on the altar of God that they put their hands to touch. Then a fire come out from God. It wasn't Moses and Aaron that burned them up the stake, but a fire came out from God. And annihilated them. Lord Jesus. God made it very clear. These people have not crossed Moses. These people have not challenged Moses. They challenged me. And I mean, this so affected the children of Israel. Let's read about it, we'll close. Numbers 16:41. It had such a long-lasting effect. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. For the day and the very next day. Children, can't you see why we needed a new birth? This was fear. It would scare them. But it wouldn't last, Brother Jerry. You imagine they were scared to death. And the very next day, they accused Moses of killing these people. And call them the people of the Lord. I'm so glad. The Lord Jesus, when he come, he didn't bring a bunch of new commandments. He didn't bring a bunch of new do's and don'ts. But he brought a change of heart. And a new birth. If not, we would be just like this today. We would be arguing and rebelling and God would do something. He'd scare us all back into being good. And then we'd go right back at it again and he'd scare us back into being good. But the new birth takes that evil snake out of your heart. And it makes you a new person. Oh sure, you still make mistakes. But the desire is not there. That old nature is annihilated. Why? The fire of God broke in on that nature and annihilated it. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise be to God. Will worship can kill you. Do you understand, friends? Folks in this day, many of them are religious, but they have will worship. They give God what they want, when they want. They go to church when they want, to the church they want. As if a church is like a grocery store. I prefer Food City. I prefer Ingles. I prefer... You should pray with the church you go to. Churches ain't like going to pick a Ford or a Chevy. You fit in a certain place, under a certain ministry. That's where you should pray, God, put me there and help me to stay. Amen? But people give it to God. They pray when they want. They read the Bible when they want. They do it. What is it? Will worship. Their will worship of Laodicea will kill them. But the bride living in this strong-willed Laodicean age are sheep. She still has a will. Oh yeah.
But in her soul, she says, Father, what do you want me to do? Oh, I could cut my hair. I could dress like the world. I could do this and that. That's right. That's your American privilege. Not against the law. But if you're a sheep, you forfeit that right. You forfeit that Laodicean thing that's trying to annihilate you. Praise God. I don't want to worship God by my will. I want to worship Him by His will. Can't you see, friend, one focus of the Lord Jesus coming to the earth was to destroy the strength of the human will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the final struggle before the great horrifying death He was going to suffer. Was it miracles, signs, wonders, great deep mysteries that He was saying? The battle was the battle of the will. When the invisible Spirit and the visible Son had a conference. Brother Ram called it the Garden of Gethsemane conference. And the body, the human part, the Son, the tabernacle, the boy, said, I don't want to do this. Is there any other way? Is there some other way, a cherubim or a seraphim? Is there any other way? The Spirit could have said back, I have searched the earth. And there's none but you. I've looked everywhere for that perfect piece of clay. But there's none worthy. You're the only one. Oh, Lord Jesus. Did it make it any easier for the body, the son, the boy? No. Did He say, I'll take all the pain away? How's that? I'll remove the pain and you just go through it like an act. But I'll desensitize you from the nails. I'll desensitize you from the cat of nine tails to where they tie bits and pieces of glass and metal in the end of it. And when they hit you, it'll look like blood, but you won't feel it. It didn't make it any easier. But He says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Satan should have known right then he was in trouble. Praise God. Will worship is going to be destroyed. So Jesus then leaves the garden as a lamb led to the slaughter. Dumb before her. Wonder why I'd say her instead of His. Dumb before her shearers. So He opened not His mouth. You must have been in Him. The Him and the her were still identified. Let's move on up. As they're hanging there on the cross, the terrible suffering, all that He's going through. And we know that the Spirit God could not look on sin. So by this stage on the cross, Jesus had already become sin because the Spirit left Him in the garden, the anointing. And He had to die the death of a sinner. So God couldn't look on sin. Imagine the angels bringing the news into the courtroom of God. And the body, the boy, the servant saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Spirit, God, just had to turn His back. He couldn't stand it. What was He doing? Destroying will worship. In order to bring a word to me and you that wouldn't be more do and don't and thou shalt and thou shalt not, but it would give us the power of that life within us. To where we could say, I don't want to do wrong. Amen. I don't want to disobey. And even if I make a mistake, it breaks my heart. That shows I'm not living in the Old Testament. Do you understand? Many folks have embraced this message, but their experience is still Old Testament. They're not born again.
That's why this message is grievous to them, Brother Dan. They can't stand it. Oh, it's just too hard. They're trying to serve a New Testament God with an Old Testament experience. They're not born again. But to a real believer, his commandments are not grievous. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Don't you appreciate him, children? Oh, I'm not just grateful for the New Testament, for new doctrines and things like that. I'm grateful for a new life that helps us to live this word. And if you find yourself struggling, you always argue about the message and you always debate about this and that. If I was you, I would check my experience. It could be that you've never yet moved up to a word birth of Malachi 4. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm not saying that you're not saved and not a believer. But it sounds like to me you're missing something in your soul that actually births your soul into the same realm that this word is in. Can you imagine a sinner or a Christian, so-called, trying to stand down here and live up to this word? Never be able to do it. Always trying to reach up and get it. But what if you were born up on this same level? And your soul is elevated into the very same level. And here's your soul and here's the word of God on the same level. And you hear that word preaching, you say, amen. It burns your heart. You say, praise God, I need it. Pour it on me. Why? Because your soul and that word is on the same level. But if you're not, you struggle. I don't like that. I hate when he preaches. I don't like it. Get your soul changed. Praise God. Then your will worship won't kill you. Because you ain't going to be doing it. You'll say, Father, how you want me to live? How you want me to dress? You want me to get rid of rock and roll? Yeah, I sure do. All right, it's gone. Is it okay if I smoke cigars? Absolutely not. Okay, they're gone. Is it okay if I have three wives? Absolutely not. Is it okay if I commit adultery, if I do this, that, no, don't you even think about it. Get rid of your Maybelline, your Mary Kay, and all the rest of the Kay family, and get rid of the whole bunch. Get sanctified, holy, righteous, clean. Come to church when you don't feel like it. Worship and pray when you don't feel like it. Don't go to the church you want, but pray and ask me which one. I should go, but Lord, I'm afraid you'll have me to go to Brother Donnie's. That's exactly where I want you to go. Because that's the kind of preaching you need. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us be, my friends. Let us be where, instead of our destiny being the pit, that there may be a psalm written to us. To the redeemed sons of Adam, a day in thy court. A day in thy court is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to live in the tents of the Pentecostals. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd rather have one service and sit in a real message church than to spend 5 years in an old Pentecostal denominational backslid rotten thing. Amen. Let me live in the presence of God. Don't let me be destroyed with Adam's race. Psalm 84 is written to the sons of Korah. Psalms 85, Psalms 86, Psalms 87. On and on and on to the sons of Korah. How did they do it? How did they sit at that kitchen table and refuse that error? Just like some of you have. Thank God there was a seed in you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you will help us, Lord. It's a really sad time that we're in, Lord, for those who are turning away. Lord Jesus, as I've seen, I've not seen really too often many of these people that are turning away, but I saw some last week. Lord, it just broke my heart. Women with earrings, cut hair, all that sort of thing. Used to believe this truth. And I talked to this certain individual and I told her, I said, I don't know what it was about that certain brother, but he had such a different spirit about him. Then the next day I saw his wife and I realized what that spirit was. He moved out from under the revealed word of this hour, got under the old Laodicean thing, seemed more happy and more smiling and jolly than I'd seen him in years. And I realized the burden of the word of the Lord had been lifted from off of his shoulders. Dear God, we don't ask for the easy way. We ask for your way. We don't ask for pleasantries. We don't ask that everybody would love us. We know they won't. But we ask for your paths. When the prophecy came, Lord, and was given to Brother Branham, when the person spoke in French and then the three witnessed of it, they all said the same thing. You've chosen the harder way, but it was my choice, my choosing. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits you. Praise God. We know heaven isn't given out by acres. What kind of a portion would it be? That lets us know there's going to be a huge portion of folks around this message that's going to make it. Praise God. What greater inheritance could a prophet of God have than to look back and see the believers that accepted his word? Let the devil make fun. Let him ridicule. Let him say what he wants to say. But when our prophet was carried beyond the curtain of time, he saw millions there. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May we not appertain to the unbelievers. May we not appertain to those Lord Jesus is trying to look for fault. We're not looking for fault. We're looking for you. Hallelujah. You're the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Keep us in your grace, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for being willing to come and annihilate world worship. To sever us from our stubborn self. That we would be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, I've said it since I was a little boy when I first started hearing the cross preached. I thank you for dying for me. But it means more to me tonight than it ever has before. When I realize more and more as we go on. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you for being willing to pay such a price that I could be free from me. Hallelujah. You didn't free me from drinking. I never drunk. You never freed me from smoking. I never smoked. You never freed me from those things. I never done none of that. I needed freedom from me. I needed freedom from a nature that I was born with, Lord. Thank you for that, my God. I appreciate it, Lord Jesus. You set us free that we could worship you. The way you wanted us to. Not just the dictates of our hearts, as we say, but the dictate of your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your holy name, Lord. Can we just lift our hands for a few moments in his presence? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you find yourself trying to give God will worship, you want to live the way you want to live and do what you want to do and give him basically what you think he deserves. Friend, don't do that. It'll lead you to death. You want to give him what he wants, what he asks, even what he demands. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Lord God, oh Jesus, no doubt a great portion of our life in eternity will be centered around worship. We won't be preaching against sin. There'll be no sin there. There'll be no preaching against right and wrong. There'll be no wrong there. We're not going to be sitting there in heaven discussing and debating doctrines and fussing over this point of view and that point of view. There'll be no need of it. Serpent seed doctrine will never be mentioned down the streets of gold. It'd be unbecoming for us to talk about serpent seed in heaven. Many of these doctrines that we so love and so cherish, when we step beyond time, will never be mentioned again. Cut hair, never be talked about. Mini skirts, women wearing pants, will never utter it again. So Lord, what are we going to do then? What are we going to talk about? What will eternity be filled with? You. Your love. Our love for you. Your love for us. Our fellowship. Our harmony. Our union. Then Lord, I want to get prepared. I want to get prepared, Lord Jesus. I want to know you better. Oh Lord, as I read it yesterday, when Brother Branham, about a month before he's fixing to leave this world, and he said he was so hungry for God. He said them experiences that he'd had with you, how he longed to feel like he did when he first got saved. Here's a man, Lord, in my humble opinion, that was given a greater understanding about the depth of God outside of the Lord Jesus than any mortal that ever lived on this earth. Understood more mysteries, was allowed to preach things and see things that no other man was ever allowed to do and see. And yet a month before going home, he ain't asking for another doctrine. He ain't asking for another theory or opinion. He's asking for more of you to feel like he did when he first got saved. Help us to be that way, Lord. Help us, no matter how deep we get and how much understanding we have, to never think that replaces experience with you. Lord Jesus, grant it, I pray, Father. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, just for a few moments, can we, maybe you're standing here tonight and you're sick or you got a need in your life, your family, your home. But instead of focusing on that, Let's focus on what we're really here for. As the words of the song goes, I've got needs in my life and needs in my family, and I could bring this before you and that before you, but let me lay my carnal things aside and let me praise your name one more time before I say amen. I've got needs in my body tonight, hurting while I'm preaching, but I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on Him. What about you? Maybe you got bills that you don't know how you're going to pay them, and you got things going on in your family and your home. But let's not think about that right now. Let's think about what we're here for. God can move right now for me, and this pain will leave me in a matter of seconds. Somebody might have dropped by your mailbox and put $500 in there, and your bill's already paid, but you don't even know it yet. So let's not focus just on that. That's only temporary anyhow. But your love and your heart for the Lord God never started, and it will never end. And when there ain't no more late bills, you will be in eternity. When there ain't no more sickness, you'll be shouting down the streets of gold for an endless eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him now just a little bit before we go. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Because Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and appealed to the mercy of God, the congregation was spared from going down into the pit. Because the Lord Jesus fell on his knees in the garden of the olive press, Gethsemane, he spared my life from going down into the pit. Hallelujah. He spared your life from winding up dying drunk or dying on dope. Or only God knows what. Because our high priest interceded. We was deserving of it. Oh yes. But he knew we had representation in heaven. Praise be to God. Oh Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father.
We worship you, Lord, not from will worship, not the way we want. Father, we want to worship you in the way that you desire. Lay your head as it were on our lap, O God, as a song of Solomon. And we will say to the churches, we will say to those on the outside, stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Oh, Lord Jesus, we will not cut off your glory. We will not bring shame upon you as Delilah did Samson. But we will be your protector on the earth, Lord. We will stand for truth, though it cost us our life. Though our name be slung around as if it were mud. We will gladly bear the reproach of you, the Word. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We repeat your words that you uttered so many, many years ago. Not our will, but your will be done. Father, we don't want our church to be what we would want it to be, but we want it to be what you want. I don't want my life, my gift, whatever more. Lord Jesus, Brother Sammy Kinzer and his family today just got up as a normal day, took his grandchildren hunting this evening. Now, Lord, he's gone. They had no idea today would be his going home day. Lord, we pray for his family. The group down in Smithville, Tennessee, Lord, where he drove down there and preached, now they're without a pastor. The group up in Galax. Lord, we pray for him tonight, Father, for his family. Our hearts are certainly broken as well. We don't feel sad because of him. We rejoice because of him, Lord. Where he's at, we got those that are left behind. Father, none of us knows when our last day may be upon earth. So we want to live as if though every day were our last. Lord Jesus, we want to please you in everything that we do, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, we worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for Brother Bill Yonce tonight, Lord. I know him and Brother Sammy was so close, just like brothers. I pray for him, Lord, as well. I know Brother Sam's departure is going to be so difficult for him. And Lord, we just ask that you'd comfort our hearts, dear God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. How we long for that place. When there'll be no more deaths. No more goodbyes. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, let's sing together. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Let's sing it together, saints. Appreciate his grace. Aren't you glad these things have been written for our admonition that we'd be able to learn by them? Amen. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, Lord. Wonderful to me. Light of the world, you step out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this old heart adore you. Hope of a life. Amen.
was thinking about this song when Brother Donnie was just mentioning that about Brother Branham. Let's sing that "Let Me Fall in Love with You" all over again. E, I think.
Let me fall in love with you all over. Let me know you as never before. Let me hear your tender voice say, let me come in. Let me willingly open the door.
Make that chorus a prayer tonight.
Left, Lord, but to heaven.